Good morning, and welcome to worship on this Pentecost Sunday. It's feeling a little strange. We have not been inside here in around a year, and we have everything's kind of upside down. We gather wearing masks to protect our most vulnerable. We gather knowing that even in the midst of the celebration of Pentecost, the only person singing today is going to be our singer with her N95 mask, Dana.
It's hard.
It's hard. That's what we just need to be able to say. It's hard, this transition. But it is a celebration because today is Pentecost. Today is the birthday of the church. It's a funny word, Pentecost. Actually, everything about this day is a little funny. Pentecost is the Greek word for 50, which is the way the Septuagint, which means 70, translates the Jewish festival of Shavuot, which means weeks in Hebrew, which happens 50 days after Pesach, or Passover, which was originally a festival early on for the early harvest. Wheat harvest in Israel, and then came to also be known as a commemoration of God giving the law to Moses in Sinai, but which is now best known in Christianity as the day when the Holy Spirit came down upon the infant church in flame and wind and fire and allowed them to speak and hear the languages of people from all over the Greco-Roman Empire. Is that perfectly clear? To put it really, really simply, today is the birthday of the church. This is the day that the Holy Spirit came down upon a motley group of scared disciples and filled them with God's love, God's power, God's hope, and they were able to share that with all the world. And so we are here, even in the midst of COVID stuff. We are here welcoming those who can't be here in person because they're a little nervous about being here, or they have little kids who haven't been vaccinated, or they are immunocompromised, or because they live far away in Chicago and Florida and North Carolina and Boston and all sorts of other places, and even right here. So I welcome you all to worship on this day, where we celebrate the 1,988th-ish birthday of the church. It's not at all showing its age. It can be a little creaky, but we're here to uncreak the church a bit as we gather to worship. So I invite you, if you have a physical bulletin, and at home, if you have the bulletin on your computer, your laptop, your phone, let's join together in our first hymn. You all can hum. Dana will sing. Spirit of God, Bright Wind is number 2117 in The Faith We Sing, and we'll sing the odd verses, 1, 3, and 5. Organ duet in a year and a half. This is wonderful. Let's join together in the call to worship in the bulletin, if you could read the bold type. Come, Holy Spirit of God, bring your mighty power into our lives. Rush through our spirits, inspiring us to witness to the great love of God. Come, Holy Spirit of God, burn light, bright flames in our hearts. Emblazon us with the confident spirit of faith that our lives will show your love. Come, Holy Spirit of God, be with us today in our thoughts and our prayers. Come, Holy Spirit of God, be with us in our words and our deeds. Amen. Our next hymn is Sweet, Sweet Spirit. Let's sing this and Spirit of the Living God through twice.
As the sea, yourself.
I'm checking the
playlist
here.
Sorry, I was rusty on that one.
Eve is going to share these words of prayer from Steve Garness Holmes. I invite you to just be present wherever you are. If you're sitting, feel the ground supporting your feet and your bottom. If you're in bed, feel the bed supporting all of you. Feel the PJs against your legs. Breathe in deeply. So it's the very Spirit of God filling your lungs. Breathe out all that separates us from God. Breathe in deeply of love. Breathe out all that is fear and hatred. Be fully present for the Spirit of God.
Fire of God, be our light. Heat of God, be our fuel. Furnace of God, purify us. Blaze of God, be our upward leaping. Spirit of God, may we burn with your love, your passion to spread mercy in this flammable world. Flame of God, be our breath. Wind of God, be our steady leading.
Thank you, Eve. The story of Pentecost happens in the second chapter of the book of Acts. And Paula and Donna P. are going to share these words with us. It's a long story, so don't hear it as a long scripture reading. It's a story, and it's exciting.
When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability.
Now there were devout Jewish folk from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each.
Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They're filled with new wine.'"
But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel.
In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Thanks so much. After this, Peter does a long and perhaps most successful sermon in Christian history. Tough sermon, very Baptist. And changes the course of history. I'm going to do a quick young people's message, although you guys should probably stay back there, our young people, but this is for you guys. So I'm going to be conversing with you. You'll need to yell out some answers if you want, if you do. So what do I have up front? It, you know, it actually is a phoenix, you're right. But it's, what do you think it's representing today?
God.
God, good answer. It's always the right answer, right? When it's a kid's message. There's a famous old story of a pastor asking kids in the kid's message, "What's green and hops and goes ribbit, ribbit?" And they go, "Jesus!" No, it's a frog. Why do you say Jesus? Oh, the answer is always Jesus, whatever you ask. But we're having the phoenix here as our stand-in for the Holy Spirit today, because the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus like a bird, and the Holy Spirit is wind and flame, and so the phoenix kite kind of acts like that. It's kind of cool today because we have a breeze, and so the kite's tail's moving around a little bit. I don't know if you can see that. I thought we'd check out. I love kites. Kites are really cool. Ready? We're going to fly this kite. Ready? It's not working, is it? What am I missing? Sorry? You need a string, and it needs to be windy. That's really good. What does the wind do?
It pushes it up.
Yes. We can talk about the Bernoulli equation sometime here, but probably not today. We need some wind to push it or give it lift. And the other thing you said was we need a string. The string connects the kite to me, right? Mm-hmm. That's what how I maintain a connection with the kite. It also gives some force to oppose the wind there, so it does its thing. But yeah, it's the connection. It's the connection to the kite that allows it to fly. Without that connection, it collapses and falls. That connection is what we're working really hard every day to do. That's what we gather here for every week. That's what we do in our time of quiet and prayer and reflection and study every day, is how do we keep connected to God through the Holy Spirit as followers of Jesus, the Rabbi from Nazareth. So the kite's a great metaphor, and you've got both of the missing ingredients exactly right, you guys. So you have a long career in aerospace engineering. I only made it 3/4 of the way through that degree, so you need to finish it up for me, okay? All right? AAE, Champaign-Urbana, University of Illinois. You're there. You're going to MIT, I know. We're going to do the grown-up version now. I invite the Reverend Lemel up for our dining room table here. It's a very small dining room table. That small. Hey, Ms. Barr.
Hey. Good morning, y'all. It's lovely to see you. And lovely, even though we don't see you, lovely to be with you all who are at home today.
Barb and I only bump elbows at home, too.
They don't need to know that.
My favorite line this year, it changes every year, but this year my favorite line from the scripture reading is, one of the crowd saying, and how is it that we hear each of us in our own language? And it made me think about what is our own native language? The easy answer is here, English, except maybe for you, English isn't your native language. And we found that language is different in different places. Have you ever taken one of those online quizzes that they have them often in the New York Times about say these words, or how do you pronounce these words, or what do you call a blank, and we can tell you where you're from. Because there is a regional language. And so do you say bubla or water fountain? Or in Chicago, y'all were
drinking fountains. They didn't call, when I came East Coast and someone said something about a bubbler, I was like,
When I take those quizzes, because I moved around all the time as a Navy brat, I'm told I'm from South Carolina and Illinois and California and all over. It's like, because I'm not from anywhere. So it was wherever I picked up a word or heard somebody else use it, that's what stuck with me.
Whereas I grew up in Chicago, and so the bubbly stuff that you drink that comes out of the bottle is pop. That's what we called it, is pop.
Right. But
and when I was in seminary in Boston, I was a home health physical therapist in the Boston area, and I went to visit one of my patients, and she offered me tonic. And my immediate response to her was, no, I'm working. Because to me, tonic meant a drink, like a gin and tonic or something. And it wasn't until after I left there and I was telling someone the story, they're like, oh, no, a tonic is like what you call pop, right? And I did not know that.
Now, we've done a reasonable amount of traveling and some mission trips and that kind of stuff, so we've always tried to learn at least a smidgen of the language. French, Spanish, Portuguese, what else?
Yeah, please and thank you. Where's the bathroom?
Cold beer, and, please.
Right. Please excuse my poor French.
Name the language, whatever. Yeah. I found one of the most difficult languages to learn was Northeast Kingdom. Found out that KO had two syllables. Those animals that you milk. And discovering that traveling up to Hardwick Way meant going to Hardwick. Like, why all the extra words?
And most discovering maple creamies, which they don't have much of outside of Vermont. When someone asked me if I had maple creamie, I said no, and then I had one, and I stayed. It was great.
Yeah. I guess if my ministry has a primary focus, then you can argue whether my ministry has any focus at all, but that's neither here nor there. It's to help people fall in love with the language underneath the language of the Bible. And by extension, my passion is for folk to fall in love with the God we meet in Jesus, whom we meet in the language of the Bible. And my passion is to take those ancient, strange, very foreign words that have been collected into the wild, wonderful library that we so dryly call Holy Scriptures, and translating that ancient wisdom, those timeless truths, into ideas and contexts that are not only meaningful and approachable today, but are relevant and interesting and challenging and scandalous and life-changing. That is my passion, is to make the Bible meaningful and central to how we operate, to help people connect their own stories with the bigger story, the biblical story of God reconciling the world to God's own self. And in doing so, we connect to other people's stories and see how God is working in and through them as well. That is why our job is to listen to the voices that we don't normally hear, the native languages that we normally don't listen to, the voices on the margins. And I think that may be this year our lesson to take home from Pentecost.
And so kudos to Donna for plowing through all the names of all the nationalities who are listening to that first Pentecost.
I want to go to Pamphylia and Phrygia one of these days.
Absolutely.
They sound really fun.
And again, that line from all of them, how is it that we hear this in our native language? Mitch was talking during the kids' message about all of the images that are part of Pentecost, the fire, the wind, the flame, the dove. And we were struck this week by a poem by Maren Tirabassi about how for her the symbols of Pentecost have become problematic this year. And she writes this poem. Don't get me wrong. I love the blowing wind. But deadly storms of climate change have taken the air out of that one for me. Tongues of flame remind me too much of cremations in India and Nepal. Certainly, even reading about the crowded streets sends me digging in my pocket for a mask in these tentative, oh so complicated days of re-community. This year, it is the languages that speak to me, that speak through me. This year, my Pentecost is just lending my tongue to something someone needs to hear because I'm willing to be in the right place and willing to open my mouth. And so with that echoing in our heads, and because until she expressed it, I didn't realize that those were all of my resistances as well with some of the images of Pentecost this year, we come again to that phrase, how is it that we hear each of us in our own language?
We have to choose to listen to the words, the native languages, the experiences of others, especially the voices on the margins. We have to choose to do that because they don't get heard on their own very well. We know how voices are silenced. And to do that, or doing that, isn't, we don't listen to other voices because it makes us nice, soft, squishy liberals.
Well, we might, but it doesn't sustain us
It will not sustain us very long. We do it because we recognize that in hearing and experiencing other people's voices, we are blessed by it. Our experiences are enriched by it.
Now, getting to know what other people think about something, even when it's different about than what we think about, gives us a broader ground to stand on. It makes us more resilient. It makes us better able to face the things that are challenging in life. Having only one opinion is comfortable, but it's not lasting. It's not a solid place to start from.
And we have seen in our culture as a whole how when we live in a bubble, when we listen in a bubble, when we only hear online, in the media, or from people around us, the same opinions, the same ideas, the same misconceptions that we have, we just reinforce a tiny little bubble. And there's this whole other world out there. We're more resilient as individuals when we hear other voices, and we're more resilient as a culture, as a planet, when we hear other opinions.
So there's a word that helps us understand this, and it's on the front of your bulletin, and if the letters look weird, it's because it's in Russian. shout out to Pedre Gotuma, who wrote about this week. The word is ostranenie. I took Russian for 5 years in high school.
Did you learn that word in junior?
I did not learn ostranenie, but when I saw the letters, I was like, oh, I know how to say that, right? Ostranenie, and what it means is defamiliarization, right? Or someone who works as a Russian translator said, the sense of it, it's not the literal meaning of it, but the sense of it is being uncountrified, not in the sense of being citified, right? But being willing to set aside the place that is country for us, the place that is comfortable, the place that is home. Ostranenie is putting ourselves in a place where we can hear what someone else's country is, where someone else is coming from, and we can hear the voices that don't necessarily automatically speak the language that we speak.
When I do a Bible study, and oftentimes here on Sunday too, I will use a strange translation. So if it's a story you think you know, it'll defamiliarize it for you, because that's when we learn, when something is made unfamiliar. I sometimes, if the story is super familiar, I'll say, pretend you've never heard this thing ever. It's really weird, even though we're so used to hearing it. Defamiliarizing ourselves is how we're able to hear new ideas trying to break their way through thick skulls, my thick skull anyway.
And it can be startling, and that's kind of the point, to open us up, to wake us up to something new that God has to say to us.
In Marin Tirabassi's Pentecost poem, she talks about the symbols that we're so used to and are comforting to us, wind and flame and crowds. This year, because of COVID, because of all the stuff going on in our culture, those traditional symbols are made unfamiliar, a little strange, even dangerous. In an age of climate change, deadly fires, COVID, and how dangerous it is for people to hear, or they think it's dangerous, to hear other people's languages and opinions. I think for a long time, for me, Pentecost is going to be defamiliared, because last year, the murder of George Floyd, happened within 6 days of Pentecost. And the irony, the deep, dark, painful irony of Jesus' promise to the disciples of ruach, spirit, breath, wind, being mocked with another black man gasping, "I can't breathe," to a cruelly indifferent white authority figure.
So the juxtaposition of George Floyd's death and Pentecost and the beginning of the COVID pandemic last year allowed us to hear things that we who are white folk in our country can choose not to hear because it's not generally our experience. What those voices were saying wasn't new. They've been saying it for 400 years. That we heard it in a different way, that was new, I think. And it feels to us like the power of Pentecost can become the power of Ostrenenia. It's the power of us becoming suddenly uncomfortable with what we thought we were completely comfortable with. And when we realize that that comfort is actually not a godly comfort, it's just our habit, our comfort. And so it feels to us like Pentecost is a time for us to listen to other people's voices and ask, who are the voices that have not been heard? And having heard them now, how do we live differently? How do we be God people? How do we be Pentecost people? How do we be Holy Spirit people in a way that brings the world to a different place because we've heard those voices?
One of the voices we heard this week that was so powerful was the voice of Viola Fletcher. She's always listed on the headlines as the 107-year-old survivor of the Tulsa race massacre. She went to speak in Washington, D.C. to talk about her experience, about an incredible piece of history that I never heard of growing up in when I took civics classes in high school. I never learned of the Tulsa race massacre. I didn't learn about it in college. But 300 innocent men, women, and children in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in the Greenwood neighborhood, committed the unforgivable sin of being successful black folk. And so they burned Greenwood down. $100 million of damage in today's dollars, 300 deaths, and never justice, never talked about in the history books. She said, "I'm 107 years old. I still see black men being shot every day. I'm 107 years old and have never seen justice. I pray that one day I will. I have been blessed with a long life and have seen the best and the worst of this country. I think about the terror inflicted upon black people every day. We were made refugees in our own country."
So if you were hoping to come to worship this morning and hear a happy Pentecost sermon, the truth is that the first Pentecost sermon was a hard sermon. It was a political sermon. We didn't add that to the reading that we already had this morning because it's another whole chapter, right?
But there's some key verses in
it. And Peter is witnessing to Jesus' life and ministry and how powerful he was and how he's the summation of everything that the Bible's been predicting. And the last phrase of Peter's sermon is, "You put this man to death." That's the end of his sermon. And it says that the crowds were struck to the heart and said, "What then shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent. Repent." And so we bring you all of that Pentecost message today. The wind and the flame and the fire, the hard truth, and the call to repentance, and the promise of that.
"What then shall we do?" they asked Peter. He said, "Repent.
I think our exercise, our way of doing that this year is to, for a majority white congregation, is to spend some time with ostranienie. Is that right?
It's close.
Read the story as unfamiliar. Read it anew. And here's the thing that I did this week that was helpful for me. Whenever I hear this and read this story from Pentecost, I always put myself in the position of the disciples, getting the Holy Spirit on my head and saying the good news out to everybody in a language they can understand. I pat myself on the head for being fabulous.
You are fabulous.
You too. But this year, I put myself in the position of the crowd hearing a really hard sermon about my complicity in a horrendous sin. This year, I am the crowd. Maybe this year you can be the crowd. Again and again, if we listen, we hear the hard news being preached. Hard news from voices we don't usually hear. Hard news from Viola, 107 years old, saying, I see black men shot every day. You put this man to death, Peter said. He says that to us too. You put this man selling loose cigarettes to death. You put this woman at the traffic stop to death. You put this child playing in the park to death. What then shall we do?
And if we're paying attention, I think it strikes us to the heart. And the question that I think all of us ask ourselves in this past year is, what then shall we do? And so again, to hear those words from Peter, repent and believe the good news and live the good news.
That means rededicating ourselves to the biblical commands to love, to peace, to mercy, and to biblical justice.
We repent when we stand in the breach. We repent when we build bridges, when we seek to create the beloved community, when we try to live as citizens in a kingdom that we don't see in the society around us, but we know that it's God's world, and we are determined to live that way. Pentecost resurrects us to a promise from God that we are all brothers and sisters and kin in the one who loves us.
So homework, brothers and sisters, and it should be our homework every Sunday. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and listen for the voices of the Spirit coming through folk that make you a little nervous, or that have been silenced by a dominant culture, or who are marginalized, put on the sidelines because they don't fit in. What then shall we do? Amen. Our last hymn is number 2237 in The Faith We Sing, As a Fire Is Meant for Burning.
And those of you who are watching this on the live stream, please feel free to send in prayer requests. We will pass for prayer.
Thank you.
again invite people at home to share their prayers on the Facebook page. And we invite you to lift up prayers, joys, concerns here. I'll share a few words of prayer. We'll have a time of silence. We'll share prayers. You can lift up prayers. And then we'll finish with the Lord's Prayer together. Let's take a moment for prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Come as you will, come as you may. Come as gentle rain on a Vermont spring day. Fall as fierce fire driving us to where we are scared to go. Come as the wind, inviting us to open our sails to new lands. Come as the crowd of people we know well, that we call friends and feel comfortable with. Call us to hear the voices that we're unfamiliar with, the accents that are strange, the observations that are scary. Come, Holy Spirit. Tear down the walls we use to protect ourselves and set our hearts aflame for the kingdom that Jesus came to live and die for and be resurrected as a promise of what is to come. Hear us, Holy Spirit, as we lift up these prayers to you. Who would you have us lift up in prayer this day, friends?
Our sister-in-law Joyce Holmes came through her back surgery just fine. She was told she might not survive it, so she was an unhappy lady when she woke up. And she goes to rehab on Monday. Next Saturday, we attend the burial of Marjorie and Larry's brother Clayton in Claymont Cemetery.
Thank you, Donna.
So that's your Peggy Boy who's in the rest of the house?
Yep. We continue to keep Peg Rogers in our prayers as well.
Prayer for Gary who died after emergency surgery.
For Gary who died after surgery? Thank you. Narda lifts up prayers for her coworker Jody as she has her first surgery on Wednesday to remove her spleen, pancreas, parts of her liver, and intestines in her fight against cancer. Liz lifts up prayers that our elected leaders keep their promises to our brethren and sistren of color. John Mitchell lifts up the Hayes family and the Stratton family.
I lift up all those who are graduating in these coming weeks, students in this community, our youngest from college, and all those who are graduating from college in these weeks, with thanks and praise.
Loving God, we lift up these prayers we share out loud, that we write to one another, and that we are holding silent in our hearts. Lifting them all up in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much. Brothers and sisters, before we go, we have some announcements to let you know about. One piece is that, back again to when, after Peter finished his sermon, people said, "What then shall we do?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized." And we are going to be doing obeying that part the next week. Sometime this week, when the weather, when there's a break in the weather, the Olsons and the Knox Browns are going to be going to the Browns River and baptizing. We'll be baptizing their two kids. And then next Sunday, here live in worship, the Menninger crew is going to be baptizing their child. So looking forward to both of those baptisms as we welcome God's newest citizens of the kingdom. We have birthdays this week for Julia Menninger and for Patty Mitchell. Happy birthday. This afternoon at 1 o'clock, Christine is scheduled to have a Sunday rail trail ride, but I don't know if that's going to be happening or not. If you are signed up with her, do give her a call to see if that's still happening. On Monday, we're going to be having our Zoom Bible study, How God Replies to Job's Suffering, and asking ourselves, what do we need to remember in the midst of our suffering? Links are there. Annual conference of the New England Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church is going to be meeting soon. There are some pre-conference discussions. One of the harder ones, talk to me about difficult discussions, is going to be about churches that are disaffiliating with the United Methodist Church because they're either upset that the church is becoming too progressive or that the church is not becoming progressive enough. And how that conversation is happening, we'll be talking about that on Tuesday, the 25th of May. On Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Barb and I are going to be in Boston. Even though the graduation is virtual, we're going to be seeing it with friends in the area. We'll be back up on Friday. I am available by phone, email, text, smoke signals, semaphore, whatever can work. Teze is happening. Excellent. On Wednesday, the Zoom link is there. Another pre-conference conversation coming up is on the budget for the conference. Be sure to tune in. Also, we are continuing to collect welcome album pages and delivering them to Marilyn. I got a question from someone younger than myself who said, it's a lot easier to do this on a PDF than it is to physically make a shindig. Can we do that? And I thought, so I'm going to send out a blurb tonight that if folks would like to create a PDF, a digital version of their page, they can send it to me. I will print it on the office printer, and we can get that to Marilyn. So it can also be, it can be both in electronic and physical form. We'll also scan the pages that are physical, so we can have a single collection of electronic and a single collection of physical welcome album for Joel and Grace when they get here. On Monday the 31st is Memorial Day, so we won't have Bible study that night. And then on the 13th of June will be the goodbye shindig. That'll be at the park, at Sand Hill Park. So do come and be a part of that. Are there other announcements that we need to know about? Catherine.
Enjoy the blossoming flowers and the regrowth. It beautiful.
It is. Say that again?
She got it. It was for you.
Oh.
352.
352. 352 is our last.
No.
No.
No, that's just a June announcement.
Oh, that's a June announcement. Okay. Are there... Welcome to live worship. Other announcements? Do you have a number you can throw out just for fun?
Okay.
Okay, it's 352. We have a store-bought benediction here, so I'm going to have you stand up and respond in the bold type. Are you ready? Come, Holy Spirit, renew the face of the earth.
Come, Holy Spirit, come. Renew our lives inside and out.
Challenge us. Comfort us. Stir us up, calm us down. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Renew our lives inside and out. With fire and wind, come to this place. Gather us up and send us out. Send us out, Holy Spirit, send us out. Make our legs stronger, our hands firmer, our arms and our hearts wider in love. Send us out, Holy Spirit, send us out. Go in peace in the name of the God who is creator and redeemer and sustainer now and forever. Amen. Shalom, chavarim, y'all.
Thank you.